I thought we were past list season. That's what the spring and the summer is all about. But when you're heading into a game like Akron, there's only so much you can do to preview the Zip. So today, I got top five lists on two different subjects, freshmen and which players need to step up. All that and more coming up here on a Friday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Hayne. Happy Friday and happy college football weekend. We have made it, and I know that the Tennessee-Akron matchup is not one that you've most looked forward to this season. It's not one that you had circled on your calendar, but hey, football is football. We get to watch it, and there's tons of other games around the Southeastern Conference that we can take part in this week as well. This episode of Locked On Vols is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online's got you covered this season with more props and odds and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it is where the game starts. I'm your host, Eric Hayne. I also work for VolQuest.com. That's the On3 site that covers the University of Tennessee. And I am, on Rivalry Thursday on Thursday nights. Used to do some radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. Still, you can hear my voice on there from time to time, but mostly I am right here with you here on this podcast with Locked On Vols, and so happy to be here. So you can find this podcast anywhere you find your podcast, and please subscribe on YouTube. Support the show there. All right, let's get into it. So Tennessee and Akron's tomorrow. It's at 7 o'clock. Tennessee is going to wear all orange in this football game, orange tops and orange bottoms. Since we last spoke, Tennessee and Florida for next weekend, the SEC opener for the Volunteers, that has been sold out. So that's going to be just an incredible environment. Tennessee needs to come in here and play a clean and efficient football game and then carry that momentum into the Gators and try to break the skid of, what is it, 16 of the last 17? We'll obviously talk a lot about that next week, and we're going to get on a bunch of guests next week. A quick sidebar, I tried to get somebody on from Akron, guys. I to no avail. Sometimes in the business, you reach out, and there's just no response back, and that was kind of me this week, and that's okay. If you go to the Akron Athletics website and you try to find a depth chart, or you try to find any information on the Akron's Zips football team, there's not much there. The last thing, I kid you not, as of this time, as of this recording on a Thursday, the last thing they posted on the football website was the recap of the Michigan State game. So goodness gracious, am I right? We're gonna break down Florida every single different angle and talk to a lot of different people. Really looking forward to that coming up next week. But first, there's a football game to be played. Tennessee and Akron, we can overlook the game, okay? We can talk about Florida, we can overlook the game and all that. The players will not, and there needs to be some players to step up and play pretty well in this football game. So top five lists for me of what I'm kind of looking for in this football game. We briefly discussed some of that yesterday, putting a different twist on it here today. But in segment number one, top five players who need to step up. Okay. In descending order, number five for me is Jerome Carvin. Nothing to freak out about, but he has not played particularly sharp his first two games of the season. Had a really bad football game against Pittsburgh. And I know PFF grades are not everything. That's what I tell you guys. He graded out in the 40s against Pittsburgh, according to Pro Football Focus. Worse in run blocking, worse in pass protection. I didn't think he looked too sharp against Ball State, but he's a guy that's been here now for 5 years. He's a guy that's been through the ringer. He's done that. That's why in fall camp, whenever he missed some time and he got some maintenance days, I said there was no issues, nothing to worry about there with Jerome Carvin. He's one of Tennessee's best five. He'll be fine, but it would be good to see Jerome Carvin have a really strong game against an inferior opponent. So looking forward to seeing what that looks like here on Saturday. Number four, Jeremy Banks. You know, all the talk's been Aaron Beasley. And a lot of times you can say, oh, well, the talk's been Aaron Beasley. That doesn't mean Jeremy Banks has been playing bad. It's just Aaron Beasley's been playing all that good. I think Jeremy Banks has not played too sharp so far this season. You guys know, I mean, I really like the type of player. I don't know him as a person, but I like the type of player that he's turned into. He's come through a lot. Obviously, we know about the off-the-field struggles and everything early on in his career. Came here as a running back. Of course, was suspended for a short period of time. All that and more. But he's done a really, really nice job of turning himself into a really good football player at this level. And just a couple months away, and then I believe he'll have an opportunity to go and latch on with the team in the National Football League. So All that to say, Jeremy Banks, I think it's been a little bit of a slow start to the season. Obviously, he's not had the tackle numbers, and of course, that's not everything. I think he's been slow reading some things, been slow to react to some things. Like to see Jeremy Banks have a Jeremy Banks top football game. And I know, you know, the goal is not to have those guys playing long into this football game, but you'd like to see Jeremy Banks come out there and you know, knock some heads around, maybe cause a fumble, you know, maybe get an interception, just something right there to get some momentum for him, you know, moving into the Florida game. Because like I said, heading into the Pittsburgh game, I thought that was going to be a Jeremy Banks top football game. Turned out again to be an Aaron Beasley top football game, which as a Tennessee fan, you'll take it. But Tennessee is going to need to rely on Jeremy Banks very, very much moving on throughout the season, just as it did a season ago. So number five, Jerome Carvin, number four, Jeremy Banks, not too worried about those guys, but like to see those guys go out there and play sharp tomorrow and move on towards the Gators. All right. For number three and number two, I cheated. It's my show. I can do whatever I want, right? How's that for arrogance? I cheated at number three and number two. At number three, give me Jabari Small and Jalen Wright. So essentially Tennessee's run game. Jabari Small had a really, really good camp. Jalen Wright missed pretty much all the camp and didn't take any contact really until the Ball State game. Jalen Wright's put the football on the ground twice already this season, lost one of those. But I think he's been running really hard. I've been impressed outside of the fumbles. And again, that's a big caveat. You're a running back. You got to hold on the football high and tight right here. Just like Alex Goller said earlier this week, that's got to fix. That's got to be corrected, okay? But I do think that his lack of contact in fall camp has something to do with it. It's no excuse, but still, I mean, it's got something to do with it. And I think Alex Goller and Josh Heupel this week kind of echoed on that. Jabari Small had a great fall camp. He's been healthy. He's added weight. Both those guys have added weight. They look bigger. They look sharper. But it just looks like Jabari Small has been just a step slow a little bit so far this season. And again, the run game, not just those two guys, very much the offensive line, very much the tight ends. I mean, it's a team sport, right? But I think Jabari Small has been just maybe a millisecond slow in seeing some things opening up and stuff like that. But I mean, you just got to get back to getting him in the open field because he's got such a great drive step to where he can put a move on somebody and go off to the races. So I would love to see Jabari Small and Jalen Wright come out there, do their work, run all up and down the zips, as they should. The zips have averaged 224 yards given up on the ground in the early going of this football season, and then get out of the football game. So number five, Jerome Carvin. Number four, Jeremy Banks. Number three, Jabari Small and Jalen Wright, the Tennessee run game. Number two, cheated again, Jalen McCullough, Trayvon Flowers. If you look at the Pro Football Focus grades, they're good, especially Trayvon Flowers. He was second to, second to Tyler Barron this past week against Pittsburgh. Trayvon Flowers has got to make some plays, okay? He finally did, made an interception against Pittsburgh, had a huge sack at the end of the football game, the highs, the lows. He got trucked, he got hurdled, and of course, he had the big muff punt. Jalen McCullough, huge, huge missed tackle after a horrible angle on that long touchdown run for Pittsburgh in the first quarter. Like to see these guys build some confidence because, hey, right, wrong, indifferent, whether you like it, whether I like it or not, those two, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, but those two guys are going to play safety for the University of Tennessee as long as they are healthy. They will play safety. I promise you that. Maybe towards the end of the year or towards, you know, or excuse me, as the year wears on, maybe you see some more Wesley Walker getting some reps back there. But he is not, as he said earlier this week, he has not taken a rep at safety since getting a bit banged up during fall camp. So it's just been the star position. But maybe that'll change. Those two guys need to have good, clean games, good angles, make tackles, make a play, deflect a pass, get an interception, don't have any MAs, miss assignments. Trayvon Flowers need to rep, returning punts, catching the football, all that. You need to build confidence. This game is all about building confidence. It's such a mental hurdle, guys. Football is 80% mental, in my opinion. It truly, truly is. And you gotta get over those mental hurdles and get some confidence going into Florida. So number five, Jerome Carvin. Number four, Jeremy Banks. Number three, Jabari Small and Jalen Wright. Number two, Trayvon Flowers and Jalen McCullough. Number one, for me, is going to be Christian Charles. And you're saying, well, what about Christian Charles? He played, what, one snap? Did he even get on the field? He played two snaps against Pittsburgh, played a lot against Ball State. I do believe that you're going to see some, as my dog is barking in the background, hopefully you can't hear that. I do believe you're going to see Christian Charles play a whole lot more in this football game. So I think for him, if he's going to start playing a bigger role at the cornerback position, obviously Akron is not Florida. Again, it's about confidence. It's a new position for Christian Charles. Brandon Turnage, of course, is also an option at cornerback as well. D. Williams is continuing to be banged up a little bit with a shoulder injury. But, you know, it's been Kamal Haddon and Warren Burrell the entire time. Let's see if Christian Charles gets a bigger role tomorrow. What's that look like? And what could it mean going into Florida, depending on how he plays? Call it what it is. This is a dress rehearsal, okay? This is a glorified scrimmage. This is an NFL preseason game of sorts. You're not going to learn anything about your team necessarily. It's kind of like the Ball State game. I truly just believe this is a confidence-building game, whether you want to go in there and get injury-free, build some confidence, score some touchdowns, make some stops, and get on to Florida. So those are my top five players that I'm intrigued to see play on Saturday. They need to have good games for what's to come the following week. Again, 5, Jerome Carvin, 4, Jeremy Banks, 3, Jabari Small, Jalen Wright, 2, Trayvon Flowers, Jalen McCullough, and number 1 is Christian Charles. Coming up next, my top 5 freshmen that I want to see do some things tomorrow against Akron, so stay tuned. Bet Online is your number 1 source for all your sports betting needs, pro and college football betting, sports information this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including the biggest games of the season each and every week. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, esports, scores, reality television, and more. The fastest, easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends and all the action. Bet Online, it is where the game starts. Welcome back into your Friday edition of Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is your team every single day. Continue to subscribe, support the show on YouTube, and of course, find us wherever you find your podcast. Give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you wouldn't mind. Put me a nice little positive review. Really, really do appreciate that, guys, and for all of your time that you devote to listening and watching the show. Means an awful lot. All right, Tennessee and Akron tomorrow. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. This is, again, the one game a year where it's going to be digital, okay? You're not going to find it by turning on the television. So if you're listening right now, how you watch the football game tomorrow is an SEC Network Plus subscription or an ESPN Plus subscription. Of course, you can listen to the Vol Radio Network call right here in Knoxville on the Sports Animal and, of course, WIBK. But every team in the SEC has 1 week a year. This is going back to last year where it's a digital-only broadcast. This is it for the University of Tennessee. So come 7 o'clock, you turn on the television, you're not going to find it. So remember to make accounts and get into that realm right there. Okay, so in segment 1, we talked about the 5 players that need to step up for Tennessee tomorrow. Now, before we get into Mike Wilson of Knox News in segment 3 to give his thoughts on Tennessee through 2 games and looking ahead to Akron, I'm going to give you my top 5 freshmen that I need to see play well tomorrow, okay? Like segment 1, I'm going to go in descending order, starting at number 5. Give me Christian Harrison. If we're going to see more Christian Charles, maybe more Brandon Turnage, we'll see. Then, you know, everybody stepping up essentially at the cornerback position. Give me Christian Charles. This is a game where you're going to see Christian Charles play some football, okay? You're going to see him get in there. And I thought against Ball State, he got in there and he played well in the fourth quarter. Now, it might be the second half of the fourth quarter. It might be the last 2 series on defense that you see Christian Charles play, or excuse me, not Christian Charles, Christian Harrison play, the son of NFL great Rodney Harrison. But I was impressed with what I saw with him at Paul State. This is more than anything, just being comfortable with your depth, because next week against Florida, if you're playing Christian Harrison, no offense to him, but that's probably not a good thing if you're playing Christian Harrison against Florida next week. So a game like this is where you want to get him in there, get him some run early at a position to where you need to have some depth. You need more playmaking ability. That's the cornerback position. So let's see what it looks like there, okay? Let's see what it looks like with Christian Harrison. I expect him to play a lot in the fourth quarter of this football game. Number 4, give me Tyree West. About Tyree West, you know, in spring practice would have opened up the season as the backup to Tyler Barron at the defensive end spot. Of course, Latrell Bumpus came back and he's gotten healthier, and so he's there. And then the emergence of Dominic Bailey, which is a good thing, has also put a damper on that as well. Tyree West did not log a snap against Pittsburgh. He played a little bit in the fourth quarter against against Ball State. So again, he's a guy that I think as the year goes on, especially the position on the defensive line where you get guys banged up and you play a lot of guys anyway, you're going to have to use Tyree West a little bit throughout the season. He's unbelievable talent. I really like his makeup, his skill, his quick twitch, his ability to pass the rusher from the interior and the exterior. I like Tyree West's makeup. But you're not going to get to see him play an awful lot this year, in my opinion, but you might need him for two or three snaps in week eight of SEC play, right? I mean, that's what these games, when I'm talking about with Christian Harrison, that's what these games prepare these young guys for. So I want to see Tyree West. I want to see him play a lot of snaps in the second half, and I want to see him make some plays because he flashed a little bit during fall camp in those scrimmages. I think he's going to be a good defensive lineman in this level, in this league for years to come. I'm excited to see Tyree West play a little bit tomorrow. So number five, Christian Harrison. Number four, Tyree West. Number three, give me Elijah Herring, a guy that's played early, not often against Pittsburgh, didn't play an awful lot, but played early and often against Ball State, a guy that Tennessee's toying around a little bit with pass rushing situations and packages early in football games on third and fourth downs. Elijah Herring's out there on the field. He came off the edge a couple of times against Ball State in the first quarter. Was really cool to see. Got a couple of snaps in the second quarter against Pittsburgh. You continue to talk about building depth at that position. Now, we'll see if Juwan Mitchell plays tomorrow. I think Juwan Mitchell will be available. That's just me at the time of this recording. Things always change, okay? So don't hold me to it. I'm not reporting this, sources. I'm just saying I believe that Juwan Mitchell will be made available to play in this football game. Now, again, you're not taking Aaron Beasley off the field the way he's playing right now. Jeremy Banks is your starter. So Juwan Mitchell is going to be a compliment. Elijah Herring can be a compliment as the year goes on. Because remember, this Tennessee defense looked pretty sharp, was a top 25 defense against the run midway through last year, and then it tailed off. It tailed off in a hurry, sprinting downhill in a hurry, how everybody tailed off, Aaron Beasley included, because you had no depth, because you played three linebackers all last year, two of those guys who weren't ready. It's great to see the growth that Aaron Beasley's made. It really is. But you need to have Juwan Mitchell there. You need to have Elijah Herring there ready to come in and spell you for a play, spell you for a series, or add just a different look. And this game right here is big for freshmen, like I've been talking about, for freshmen. Elijah Herring, I think, will play an awful lot in this football game. I'm excited to see what he looks like. Hopefully he flashes, makes some plays. He's had a really nice start to his collegiate career. So, number five, Christian Harrison. Number four, Tyree West. Number three, it was Elijah Herring. Number two, Dylan Sampson. At one point in time, or at some point in time this season, okay, I'm not wishing this, but it's football, okay? We know this. Jabari Small and or Jalen Wright will get banged up. They will be held out for the rest of the game. They will be a no-go for a game 1 week. That's the nature of a contact sport. That is football. You are absolutely going to have to count on Dylan Sampson at some point this season to give you a lot of run, no pun intended, in a football game. I'm a broken record, okay? But in a game like this, this is where you need to see him shine. You need to see him pick up some confidence. You need to see what he can do, catching the football out of the backfield potentially. You need to see what he can do running with those stretches and those tosses on the exterior. You need to see what he can do running in between the tackles. Dylan Sampson, I like what I saw against Ball State. Let's flow that into this football game, and let's have a big football game here, probably in the second half against Akron. So need to see a lot from Dylan Sampson. I really, really do. Again, position where you only have four scholarship guys, and Dylan Sampson is clearly at this point in time ahead of Justin Williams-Thomas, the other freshman running back. So need to see what Dylan Sampson can bring. And then finally, at number one, give me Joshua Josephs. Against Ball State, he played, gosh, I don't have the snap count in front of me, and I'm not going to look it up in real time, but he played a lot of snaps, played a ton of snaps, outplayed, went in the football game before Roman Harrison, and had like 25 plays or something like that to 8 plays for Roman Harrison. Joshua Josephs played a ton, and he flashed too. He got his hand on a pass, got close to bringing in the quarterback a few times. I was encouraged watching Joshua Josephs lead that Ball State game. Now, you got in the Pittsburgh game, whatever the situation was with Roman Harrison, it looked to be rectified. He played 45 snaps, and he looked pretty good against Pittsburgh. So Joshua Joseph, maybe I needed to slow the roll a little bit on him to overtaking Roman Harrison on the depth chart at the Leo position. But still, you need multiple guys like that. At points in times, too, as you saw against Pittsburgh, they had in their NASCAR package, they had Byron Young on one side, Roman Harrison on the other. That's two Leos playing on the field at the same time. They slid Tyler Barron inside to a three technique, and then they had Amari Thomas in there. That's two Leos on the field at one time. That means Joshua Joseph was right there to be that next guy. So it's all about situational football and, of course, what you can provide for Tennessee and trying to get to the passer and trying to get to the guy and affect the passer. So Joshua Joseph's, I want to see you flash. I want to see you get a sack. I want to see you get a deflection. Couple TFLs, you know, score a touchdown. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see what you can do because you look good against Ball State. I'm excited to see what you can do against Akron. So, again, my top five freshmen that I want to see make some plays tomorrow against the Zips. Number five, Christian Harrison. Number four, Tyree West. Number three, Elijah Herring. Number two, Dylan Sampson. And number one, Joshua Joseph. So, Tennessee and Akron tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Tennessee needs to win this football game. They are 47-point favorites. Goodness. Let's see what they can do tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And, of course, we'll have a locked on. We'll have it now after the football game. I'll tweet out. And, of course, we'll recap it all on Monday as we look ahead at that point officially to the Florida Gators. But Akron comes up first. We'll catch up with Mike Wilson, Knox News. He'll conclude this Friday show, get us ready for the Zips, and discuss what he's seen in Tennessee football so far this year. That's coming up next to conclude a Friday show right here on Locked On Vols. Here with Mike Wilson, Knox News, and Mike, through 2 weeks of the season so far, Tennessee's sitting at 2-0. What have you liked from Tennessee from what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I think we've seen two different types of games, and I think that's an interesting element with this team. We saw the offense obviously win the first game 59-10, came out crisp, efficient, first string and second string. I thought that was really good to see, and that's what we expect to see. We didn't see that in week two, but we did see a defense make enough plays, getting sacks, forcing turnovers, and it was kind of a defensive one game, which is not something we saw from this team last year. So I think it's been interesting to see both sides of the ball come through in that respect and win games so far. That's promising. Seeing the defense be able to step up when the offense isn't its best isn't something you could have expected this time last year.
Yeah, kind of on that note, I mean, it was huge, in my opinion, for Tennessee to win that football game the way it did. Do you see any real progress made? I know it's only two games, but, you know, with getting after the quarterback and the 16 quarterback hurries or whatever, and, you know, just the level of play from this defense early on, is there proof in the pudding so far that this defense is better than what it was last year?
I think there is. I mean, we need to see, obviously, Florida next week is going to give a bigger indication of that and moving forward in SEC play. But I thought, too, there was a lot of pressure against Ball State. But Ball State's offense was getting the ball out so fast that Tennessee didn't get any sacks, didn't record as many hurries, but they were getting after it. And I think you're seeing a very pressure-filled defense focus on getting after it right now. And I think that's probably in part due to not fully knowing how the secondary is going to perform. I think that helps pressure there by getting the pressure up front. And yeah, I think it's a different built defense. And I think what we're seeing is definitely an emphasis coming off the edge. I mean, Byron Young wasn't proven last year. Tyler Barron was inconsistent. They've got those guys, Joshua Josephs, James Pierce is up and coming in that group too. There's so many more guys off the edge. Roman Harrison, there's so much more talent there. That's really making a difference, I think.
Aaron Beasley's play, it's been fantastic. And the thing for him, he was playing fine at the beginning of last year, and then he tailed off. I think the challenge for him is to maybe not play even as well as he's playing now, but just continue the pace. What have you seen from Aaron Beasley here through two games?
He's a more confident football player. It looks like a guy who knows where he's going, knows what he's supposed to do on any given play. And that's been impressive to watch, because last year you saw him kind of get picked on against Ole Miss and some other games like that over the middle. So he's just been more consistent. Looks more like he's sure in what he's doing each time.
Over to the offensive side, I think we both can agree that Hendon Hooker's not looked his best, but he still looked good. You know, for him, I know I've heard the coaches talk a little bit about, you know, footwork early in the games and led to some high throws and whatnot. What have you seen from Hooker? What do you think? What do you think his level of play is right now?
You know, I thought he was really crisp against Ball State, especially early. Missed a couple throws there, but really crisp, really efficient. I thought he had efficient moments against Pitt. His wide receivers didn't help him at points against Pitt, too, and I think that's important to note there. But he's taking care of the ball, not making foolish turnovers. That's important in that process. He does need to be a little bit more efficient, more effective, missed some high throws against Pitt, missed a couple throws long, too. But, yeah, I mean, I think you've seen the playmaking that you expect to see. You've just seen maybe more misses than you've expected to see, but those are things you can iron out. And again, the no turnovers is a huge part of this. Taking care of the ball is everything for Hendon Hooker.
Brew McCoy, 4 targets, 4 catches, huge touchdown catch, and a huge, massive first down reception late in that football game. It's not been a whole lot, and I do believe that the coaching staff will begin to trust him more, but it was very apparent. They were going to Tillman the entire day against Pittsburgh. It wasn't just Hooker. I mean, that was from the top down. Do you believe that you'll start to see Brew become more impactful in this offense?
I do, and I think the impact he's had has been really cool to see.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about Cedric Tillman on one side and Brew McCoy on the other, that's imposing. Not a lot of teams have one DB that can match up with a 6'3", 200-ish pound receiver, let alone two of them. That's pretty rare. So that's a gift for Tennessee to have both of those guys in its arsenal. And what I think we've seen Brew do is exactly what we expected. He's a bully on the edge. He's bigger body. He can make plays. But I also think we've seen more playmaking with speed and athleticism than maybe we knew he had. So there's a good balance to his game there that's definitely going to pay dividends down the road this season.
Running game, 2 games, obviously. It was fine against Ball State. And it was a struggle. And talking with some of the assistant coaches earlier this week, they pretty much said that they knew they weren't going to be able to run the football much against Pittsburgh, just what they do with their front and everything like that. Having said that, thoughts on Jabari Small and Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright's had a couple fumbles, but I do think a lot of that goes into, I mean, the dude didn't take a hit all camp long. It's no excuse you can't put the ball on the ground, but I think there's something to that.
Yeah, I thought Wright might have been the better running back.
I agree.
In the Pitt game, especially at points early.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, he was very effective there. Not that that was positive, because last year he was pretty inconsistent. I think he was injured a little bit last year, too, and certainly been injured this year in the preseason, so that limited him. But, you know, Tennessee's running game, it's important for its offense. Alex Golish has talked about that since the day he got here. Josh Heupel talked about the day he was hired. Everyone talks about the passing, but it's kind of established with the run game. So they want to be able to do that. I think it's been good enough. I think there's still a lot of room for improvement in that area, though, for both Small and Wright. I think we saw some Dylan Sampson there early against Ball State. I thought he played well, but you know it's kind of going to be those top two guys at this point.
All right, last thing. Obviously, sold-out Florida is going to come to town next week as media covering the team and as fans and everybody around. I mean, that's who we're looking towards. But Akron's first up. What do you need to see from Tennessee, I guess, to say, all right, you've got a whole lot of confidence, a whole lot of momentum riding into Florida?
This is the Ball State game all over again to me. It's less about the opponent and more what you're saying about what Tennessee does with it. They took care of business against Ball State. They won by basically 50. That's exactly what you're supposed to do in a game like that. It's an opportunity to get your things crisp, get things right, and I think that's what you want to see again. You want to see Hendon Hooker iron out some of those inconsistencies. You want to see Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman clean up a couple of their mistakes from the last game. You want to see the fumbles stop. Now, that's something Alex Golish talked about this week. If he's going to lose sleep over anything, it's those fumbles, putting the ball on the ground in that way. So, yeah, I think you just want to see Tennessee be crisp. I mean, obviously, we as media, we're talking Florida already. That's just the way it's going to go. I mean, Akron's coming off a 52-0 loss to Michigan State. So it kind of tells you everything. Their quarterback situation's in flux. There's just you kind of know what's coming in this week, and you also know what's coming in the week after, so it's hard not to. But, yeah, take care of business. Look good while doing it. Be productive. Clean up your mistakes.
Great stuff there from Mike Wilson. Give him a follow on Twitter. He is at by Mike Wilson. Love that because, of course, that is a byline. He is a writer for a newspaper. Really, really does good stuff and you know, covers all three sports, football, basketball, and baseball. Does an awesome job. So, guys, it's here. Tennessee football time coming up tomorrow. I don't care who it is. It's fun to watch Tennessee football play. It's why we do it. It's why we're fans. It's why I work in the media. You work for game day, and it's here, so I'm excited about it. Hope you guys enjoy your football weekend. Hope you enjoy the Tennessee football game. If you're going, be careful. But most of all, thank you so much for hanging out with us and making Locked On Vols your first listen. As always, Locked On SEC, make that your second listen. Get ready for the SEC weekend with Chris Gordy. Locked On SEC, your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every day. All right, we'll do it same time, same place. Monday morning, we'll recap the Big Tennessee Volunteers football victory. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Friday and have a safe and enjoyable weekend, everybody.